You know, Sam, Mom's not all wrong. Did you know that on the average day, kids watch 3.5 hours of TV?
3.5? I'm not watching enough.
And did you know that in that 3.5 hours, they see 5 beer or wine commercials, 33 acts of violence, and 38 sexual references?
Whoa, I must be watching the wrong channels.
Nickelodeon, your TV network. Nickelodeon, the place for kids. Nickelodeon.
Good morning, Gut Buckets. This is Big Orange Couch, the 90s Nickelodeon podcast, where we talk about all things 90s Nickelodeon. My name is Joey.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Sandy.
And this is episode 41. We're going to be talking about an episode of Clarissa Explains It All called No TV.
Mm-hmm. It's episode 2 of Clarissa.
Yes.
So last week we did our favorite pilot episodes, all 30.
Yes.
And so we thought it would be fun to... One, to finally talk about Clarissa.
Yes.
And two, talk about the second episode of a series.
See how it compares to last week's.
Yeah, yeah. And Sandy is back. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
If you don't remember Sandy, she was with us on SpongeBob Scaredy Pants all the way back in October.
Yeah
that was a while ago.
Yeah, it's a whole new year.
It's a whole new year and a whole new me.
Oh, wow. Can't wait to see what you bring.
Nice.
So before we move on, a quick shout out to one of our most loyal listeners.
Happy birthday, Nancy.
Yeah.
It's her 27th.
Yep.
And we're so happy that you've listened. And,
yeah.
We just want to wish you a happy birthday.
Absolutely. So hope you enjoy the day, Nancy, and keep on keeping on. So before we talk about Clarissa No TV, as always, I like to take a step back in time to when Clarissa No TV premiered. And that, according to at least most sources, was April 6th, 1991.
Yeah.
Several listed as March 23rd, but I just pretty much went with the majority.
Yeah, I think the... most trustworthy sources hit April 6th.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, agreed.
With that.
Yeah. It started in March of 1991, but let's take a look at April. That would have been a Saturday. Mm-hmm. We're talking SNCC.
Nice.
And here's what happens in April of 1991. The U.S. minimum wage goes from $3.80 to $4.25.
Wow, pretty big jump.
Yeah,
there.
Very, very nice. The Railroad Workers of America go on strike. One day later, Congress ends the railroad workers' strike.
Wow.
So it's a one-day strike. But the railroads were shut down for a day. The famous television show Dinosaurs premieres on ABC.
Ooh, wow.
Sandy, any feelings on dinosaurs?
Oh, I love dinosaurs.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked about it a couple times.
Yeah.
Were you a fan?
Yeah, I liked it. I don't know. It was like almost a puppet thing. So I was always never quite into puppets, but it was a little better than the average puppet thing.
Yeah, it looked a lot better.
Yeah.
It had its own aesthetic.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I've mentioned on repeated viewings as an adult, I haven't been as enthusiastic, but ambitious.
Ambitious.
Croatia, the country of Croatia, declares their independence after a long period of turmoil. And then a cyclone strikes a district of Bangladesh, killing 139,000 people and leaving 10 million people homeless.
Wow.
So that seems pretty devastating.
Yeah.
We didn't mention that in our 1991 year in review, but that's a pretty...
Yeah.
That's a Ferguson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then we also like to take a look at music, movies, and video games. So the number one songs in April of 1991 was Coming Out of the Dark by Gloria Estefan.
Mm.
You know that one?
Not that particular song, no.
Me neither. I've Been Thinking About You by London Boat.
I don't even think I know who London Boat is.
No. Let's see what else. You're in Love by Wilson Phillips.
No.
Oh, for three. No. And then finally, Baby Baby by Amy Grant.
No clue.
No clue. Someone out there is listening right now, like, those are all my favorite songs. Someone born in like 1978.
Yeah.
Also worth noting, Alanis Morissette's first album comes out in April 1991. Not her famous Jagged Little Pill, but her debut album.
Oh.
So, yeah. And then movies, number one movies in April of 1991, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
Yes. I don't think I've seen that.
What?
I
don't
know. Oh, boy. What were you doing as a kid?
I would probably have been like four around that time, so I think that was more my brother's territory.
Okay.
not me.
I feel like my sisters, just as a consequence of my obsession, would have had to encounter it by me watching it
on repeat. I think that was my first, like, important movie to me. Like, first movie that, like, I thought, this is, like...
In the theater?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. That was a pretty big one. Also that month was Out for Justice, starring Steven Seagal.
Good old Steven.
Boy, what a different time. Number one movie with Steven Seagal. Yeah. And then a movie I'd never heard of called Oscar, starring Sylvester Stallone, Marissa Tomei, and Tim Curry.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I know it vaguely.
Okay, wow.
Oscar.
Huh. That's just a weird, like, Sylvester Stallone and Marissa Tomei?
And Tim Curry.
Oh, my God, and Tim Curry. Jeez.
Would he have just done It? Would he have just been Pennywise, or would he not have been yet?
I don't remember what.
That's not
when,
Clue?
When. What?
Oh, yeah, no, he would have just probably finished. It's 1990.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Clue was like 80s, I believe.
80s, yeah.
Was it 80s?
Oh, man, he was good in Clue, though.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, he was.
He was really good.
Brilliant.
And not a number one movie, but also worth noting that Drop Dead Fred comes out in April of 1991. One of my favorites.
Yeah, so that I know.
If you had to pick one, Andrew?
Turtles 2 was the one for me.
Yeah, agreed.
I would have picked Drop Dead Fred, although that Sylvester Stallone flick sounds like it could have been good.
Well, check out Oscar. Get back to us. and I didn't have anything for video games. I just couldn't find...
I mean, I know we talked about it.
Well, 1991 has video games, but this particular month was not heavy on video games.
I see.
Or
any, April. It was like just before the Christmas season.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sorry. Nothing exciting there.
I do feel like Clarissa's a good spring show.
It really
feels like it fits that the spring feel.
Yeah.
Leading right into giving you that good old summer break feeling.
Yeah,
you know?
School's ending. You feel a little rebellious.
Yeah, it's vibrant.
Oh, yeah.
It has this kind of vibrant feel.
Yeah.
Very cool. And it never seems to be, I don't know, the set always seems to be like very, the trees are in bloom.
Yes.
And
I don't know where it's supposed to take place.
I don't know where the darlings live, no.
Yeah. But it does seem like summery.
If you have an alligator, I would guess Florida. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Around state.
Yeah. How'd she get a hold of Elvis?
Right? Yeah. Seriously.
Oh, there might be a clue in here to where she lives if they haven't. If they don't say that.
Oh, okay.
We'll see.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that I'm intrigued.
Let's jump into No TV.
Okay.
This is April 6th, 1991.
Saturday night.
Reminder.
And at this point, kids are really probably still feeling Clarissa out, you know? Because it's only the second
episode.
Oh,
yeah. That's true. Yeah, this is brand new territory.
Yeah. That's
true. Although, she already established, like, that's, like, the breaking point for her fashion.
Yeah.
Like, she just...
Episode one.
Yeah, episode two is, like, beautiful. It's like, I don't know, I like it. All of her clothes are just great.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, the episode starts out with Clarissa sneaking around the bushes outside of her house, and we find out that Mom has banned TV for the week.
Mom has declared no TV for a week so the darlings can spend some quality time together. Togetherness is Mom's new kick. I wouldn't mind having to be together, so much if we didn't have to be together while we were doing it. Know what I mean?
Clarissa, we're waiting.
And Clarissa poses the question, TV or not TV? That's the question.
It's so stupid, but I found myself kind of impressed by the line.
Yeah, I was like, well,
really? Like, for some odd reason, I think it's just because it's been, you know, Shakespeare's been quoted so much throughout, like, 90s television shows, and I'm like,
But maybe it's the fact that I've gotten to this age of my life that I've never even heard someone say no TV or no TV.
Yeah. That is true.
It's so simple.
And it was early on, and it's like a kid's show. Mm-hmm. So it's another one of these, like, that's a little beyond probably what, well, at least our age at that time. I
wasn't reading Shakespeare yet.
Fair enough. That is true.
But mom is trying to, like, get the family to have more, like, together family time. Yeah. That's what she's promoting. And she's kind of all about that as a character. Yeah. That, like, good, wholesome attitude, I guess.
Yeah, Janet.
Yeah. Clarissa takes us through what's been going on in the Darling family since TV's been banned.
Okay, here's what's been happening. It's Friday night. We've been sitting here since 5:30. Dad's designing a new store in the shape of a pickle. It's a drive-in place for sweet and sour pickle lovers. Mom's making a home library complete with card catalog, Dewey Decimal System, and everything. This way we'll get due dates and have to pay fines at home now, too. And Wadbreath is pretending he can read. And me. I'm doing absolutely nothing in protest. It's a great way to make parents suffer.
The pickle, what is it for pickle? Like, the dad building a pickle shop or a drive-in pickle place was just so weird to me. I was like, who's going to go and just get pickles?
Yeah.
Like, just buying just pickles.
But I love that shot of the place. Yeah. It's just a giant building that looks like a pickle.
Yeah, it's like, I'd go there. But, I mean, I don't know if I just want a pickle. Yeah. But it's a cool place.
It's like a surreal type of thing.
Yeah, it's like something you would probably see in Rocco's Modern Life. Like, an actual just pickle store.
Yeah.
Like,
did you know what the pickle place was called?
I think I caught it. Gherkin's a Go-Go?
Yeah.
I did not catch
that. That was on my stray observation. I'm crossing it off.
Nice. Anybody else in the family?
Oh, the mom, for some odd reason, card cataloging and Dewey Decimaling, like, the books that they have. Yeah. Like, how many books do they own?
Yeah.
That's the question that I thought. I was like, do you guys just have a...
I guess enough to make a small Darling family library.
That librarian in her is...
Yeah, really coming definitely out in this one. Meanwhile, Ferguson is pretending to read while playing, like, a Game Gear type of system in his book.
Looks like a math book, but...
Yeah.
I tried looking up what he was playing because I was so curious. I was like, what are you playing? But
nothing?
Yeah, nothing.
And
thanks for looking.
That's funny, because that's exactly what Clarissa is doing in protest of the no TV.
Mm.
Nothing.
That's right. Yeah. And I like that concept. It's definitely a teenager thing to say...
Yeah.
In your face.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It feels very real.
What was the quote?
So the family's kind of spending a lot of their day hanging around the living room and not talking to each other, trying to figure out something to do without TV. And the first thing they do is they end up discussing TV.
You know the clothes horse down at Willow Mall?
Uh-huh.
Well, I saw the sweater that they had on sale, and I could swear it looked familiar, and then it came to me. I had seen it before.
Really?
Yes, it's exactly the same sweater that Bill Cosby wears on The Cosby Show. You remember the purple one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, was that the sweater in the episode where Theo tried to wear his dad's clothes for a date?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, I remember that episode, and the sweater got ripped in the car.
That's right.
Yeah, Theo got in a lot of trouble.
Which I love.
Right. Which really gets under Janet's skin. Yeah. Clarissa Ferguson and Dad are having a great time.
Yeah.
And she's just sitting there stewing.
Yeah, that actually, like, was so funny to me, because she gets so mad over one little comment about TV that I was just like, I wonder. Like,
I thought that was done pretty well. Like, it transitioned into the talk about TV, like, pretty naturally.
Right.
Where you didn't even... At least I didn't, like, at first realize where they were going. I was like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
Right. But her outrage was just so, like, funny, because it's just that classic mom stare of, like, ugh.
They look over and they just kind of deflate. Sorry,
much,
Mom.
Yeah.
So for a moment, they get into charades at the end of the scene, which kind of, like, comes back.
It's
later.
Ongoing, yeah. That seems to be the family game of choice, charades. I was thinking about this. Did your families have any go-to games where, if, like... We're going to have a game night tonight, and you would just always maybe play a certain game.
I remember playing Risk.
Oh, vividly. Very cool.
Yeah, that was kind of
That's a real progressive family.
Right? Ours is just, like, Monopoly, and then no one talked to each other.
Pretty That's much. How all board games end.
But maybe better, because Monopoly is like short. You can end it. Risk. You're talking about perhaps 3 to 4 hours of awkwardness.
Pretty much, yeah.
Until somebody just gets too bored or mad.
That's true.
To continue. Yeah.
We were a Scattergories family. Mm. A lot of Scattergories.
That and Scrabble. Like Scrabble was always like a thing that for some reason my mom was like, oh yeah, we're going to play Scrabble. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yay.
You're putting down high.
Pretty much.
But Charades is a easy one to like relate to, I think. Everybody knows what Charades is, and it's not like a name brand game, so they have no problem saying it.
True.
So Clarissa kind of starts getting into how the family got into this situation in a little segment, in a little flashback she calls Remote Control Wars.
Yeah. Like Star Wars. You got the Star Wars, what do they call that, the crawl?
Yes. Basically, it's just her and Ferguson fighting over the remote until they get into like a lightsaber battle momentarily. Which is kind of advanced, I think, for this show at this time.
But Clarissa uses like a lot of that animation. So even the lightsabers have this look at the start of the episode when she's talking about TV. They do those images where like it's like a.
It looks like it's drawn on the screen with, like, a marker or something.
Yeah. It's kind of cool looking.
And there's another moment like that coming up, but I'll mention it as it comes up.
I was also going to say the transition, like, I don't know if anyone realized that huge remote when she's trying to prove her point.
I was trying to remember to mention it.
The universal remote.
Yeah, but you can tell, like, she's just trying to over-exaggerate how, like, powerful the remote is, because in the next scene, you see her with a normal size.
But it shows her with that enormous one. That is pretty funny. But Mom catches them, and that's how it all began.
Right.
Like, she got mad at them for fighting over the remote. So while they're just hanging around doing nothing, Jody calls Clarissa on the phone.
Jody? Hi. Oh, just hanging out. No, I didn't see that movie. No, I missed it. No, I'm not watching TV. What do you mean, what am I watching? I'm not watching anything. No, there's nothing to watch. Well, I don't understand what you're saying either. Goodbye.
Who was that on the phone, dear?
Oh, it was the Nielsen Company. They wanted to know if we'd be a Nielsen family. You know, the Nielsen ratings.
Funny.
Perfect.
Nice. So later, Clarissa is watching the empty space where her TV used to be in another great animation. Like, they draw the TV in.
Yeah, in her room.
Yes.
Now we're in Clarissa's room, which is...
Yeah, this is later in the day.
A very cool room.
Oh, man. Yeah. I wish I had that room as a kid. Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I always think, though, that's pretty bold... Or it would be for a kid painting those black squares onto the wallpaper.
Yes.
I mean, I thought so too, is all I was going to say. Like, because I remember thinking as a kid, like, why would she paint over such pretty wallpaper? But now as an adult, I'm like, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, can I share a Klickstein fact with you about those checkers on the wall?
Why not?
Okay. Mitchell Kriegman said about that checkered wall, when we first came, and Mitchell Kriegman is the creator of Clarissa, he said, when we first came to the set for Clarissa's room, it was done in all pink and was very frilly, like most girls' bedrooms at the time on those kind of shows. But I had the set designers literally take black car paint and make checkered walls on top of the pink wallpaper. One of the camera guys on set said, she's possessed by the devil. And then someone else said, if I had painted checkers on my wall at that age, I would have gotten my rear end tanned inside and out. But it was necessary to the show. I'm sorry. It was necessary to show the edge of Clarissa's personality and also the liberalness of her parents by having her expressing herself in that way.
It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it is. That was a very good touch.
Yeah, it's subtle and yet not subtle. Like, you know, it's kind of there, but would have never thought that would be it.
It's cool.
Oh, so I don't know if you guys remember that, like, Clarissa talking to her, like, her family about how watching TV, like, how is she going to keep up with the social norms of her peers. Like,
yeah.
And she also mentions how she's going to find chewing gum for eyes, and then she mentions, like, how am I ever gonna, like, how am I gonna get my daily Johnny Depp fix?
Yeah. Clarissa, you know there is nothing on TV but an endless stream of the same sitcoms, game shows, and commercials.
That's what I mean. Where else can I experience the vast wasteland that we call the 20th century? Where else can I get chewing gum for my eyes, and what about Johnny Depp?
I think we can live without Johnny Depp for a week.
Can't imagine a moment without Johnny Depp.
And I thought it was funny because I was, like, a long time ago, I remember talking to, like, a friend about Johnny Depp. Like, just, not even just Johnny Depp, but, like, how, like, people that you had a crush on. And I never really had crushes as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of like, oh, they're cool, except for Johnny Depp. And I thought it was really weird that she mentioned that because I was like, why would Johnny Depp really be, like, her crush at this time? But then I think back to, like, the fact that that was, like, his big booming, like,
he was just up and coming.
Totally. But I just thought I'd mention it was a weird thing. Like, I used to carry around his picture in my, like...
Was there a certain Johnny Depp role where you're like, man, this guy is... And don't tell me Edward Scissorhands.
It was not Edward Scissorhands. Okay. I would say it was probably Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, I don't know why. He had, like, a brief, like, moment,
but... He looked real cool in that.
Yeah, I thought he, like... I don't know. It was, like, edgy to me. And I was big on horror at the time, so I was like, oh, yes, sweet.
Yeah.
But carried a picture around in my flower power diary.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, while Clarissa is busy pretending to watch TV, Sam shows up.
Yeah, that ladder.
Yeah.
It's the windowsill.
His intro music. I wish I had it as a kid.
The whammy bar. So freaking
what's up?
Cool.
And he kind of commiserates with Clarissa's TV problem with his own TV problem going on at home. Did you catch what his issue is?
Yeah, his dad thinks, like, good bonding time would be them watching the sports channel together, which in the pilot, Sam clearly states it's clear Sam's not a sports kid.
Yeah.
So he's trying to avoid that.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam, would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Watch tonight's episode of The Simpsons for me. I don't want to look stupid at school.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and Sam, tell me what happened to DJ and Full House.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Sam, flip the channels around once for me.
So later that night, Clarissa sneaks downstairs, and her mom ends up catching the entire family trying to sneak TV time.
Yeah, they all have their own method about, right?
Yeah.
I forget. When she catches them, they all pretend to do something and just...
Oh, well, Clarissa's, like, hiding on the steps.
Yeah, she's hard to see.
Yeah.
Ferguson's sleepwalking?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the dad's just, what's his name? Marshall. Yeah. He's just sitting on the couch, like, I'm not even sure he's pretending not to.
Right? Yeah, he's just caught.
Yeah, no, yeah. I always thought Clarissa's method of hiding was so weird, because I was just like, you could just run up the stairs.
Right.
Yeah. But she had plenty of time. Yeah, just barely there.
So back to the bedroom.
Yes, we're back to the bedroom the next day. Clarissa's trying to get TV reception on her computer monitor.
Yeah.
Like a pretty advanced thing at that time.
Yeah, the show between the pilot and this episode set up very quickly that she's a tech geek.
Yes.
Like she, for 1991, she knows her way around a computer.
Yeah, this all feels like a lot more normal now looking at it, but like at the time, that's insane.
I still think that that's an excessive amount of wiring, though. Like, that's not normal for any time. I don't even know how that got into her room.
A whole giant wheel of wires.
In her room. Like, about as tall as her.
Right.
Like, there's no way it would really fit in there.
Right.
The real world. But anyway, Sam shows up again, and he's in another phase of... trouble with his head, kind of. What did you?
Surfing. Like, the dad wants to take up surfing, which is.
Yeah, he calls it a surf punk phase.
Yeah.
That he's in. So they're bonding over surfing, which actually might suggest they live near the ocean, possibly.
Good call. Good call.
Next, Clarissa gives us another report on what the family's been doing without TV for. I guess this has been like. Day two now or something.
At least a couple days.
And this one's called A World Without TV, One Family Story.
Okay. I think it's time for a special report. Here are some of the amazing things people do when they can't watch TV. Dad has spent the morning fixing things that weren't broken to begin with. Mom has reached new heights in the organic culinary pantheon. kind of cranky and no one knows why. Too much granola? And a sleeping Ferguson has made the shape of a perfect whale from his drool.
Is it time for Bugs and Friends?
So shortly after this, Dad's friend calls. Mm. Do you remember Dad's friend's name?
I don't remember his name.
Wow. Well, no.
I don't know
it's Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Jack! And he calls to let Dad know about the current sports game that's on. Did you note that? What the
sure,
game
I'm going to have to...
Spurs is Spurs?
I'm going to have to cross out another stray observation. Knicks versus Lakers.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
But
I hurt Knicks.
You know, the dads seem to be cheering for the Lakers, which would imply California. Which would be ocean.
Yeah, yeah. Go right along with
that. Not to mention, and surfing and Keith sunny. Haring around that time was a big thing. Like, mentioned, the Keith Haring shirt. Clarissa's iconic outfit. That shirt, the token shirt, is amazing. And I think that was a big thing around, California around that time.
Cool.
Like, in California.
Maybe we've cracked it. I'm sure a simple Google search could
have helped. It's not like the Simpsons epidemic, but...
So this is kind of like the last straw for Dad, and he just forgets about the whole TV thing and goes in...
Right.
About to turn it on.
Yeah, no hesitation.
But Mom catches him at the last second and kind of keeps him from doing it again. And Sam shows up shortly after this and kind of, distracts them. But when they have nothing to talk about again, Mom starts imagining her and Dad in Casablanca.
Yeah.
Mom, don't you wish you were curled up in a cozy comforter with a warm cup of hot chocolate, watching a wonderful old grainy black and white movie? Something with Humphrey Bogart and Ingmar Bergman, say Casablanca?
Casablanca? Oh, I love that movie. Remember, Marshall, when we used to watch TV at your parents' while they were away?
Janet, this is certainly...
We'd turn the lights down low.
Janet, it's kind of...
And you'd pretend you were Humphrey Bogart, and I'd be Ingrid Bergman. But then, what about us?
Well, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world.
Oh, Rick.
Here's... looking at you. Janet, get a hold of yourself.
Which is interesting. So she's finally getting sucked into this whole no TV thing. It's affecting her now too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think you slowly see the decline of her just patience.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. That's the most obvious breaking point. Yeah. It's just...
This is an interesting, interesting scene, black and white.
Yeah, what did you think about that?
I thought the dad's performance was the worst.
Oh yeah, definitely.
A little heavy-handed.
Yes,
yeah.
But it was acceptable, I guess. I mean, there's enough of that kind of thing going on in Clarissa to where it didn't feel that weird or out of place. Yeah. But it didn't necessarily add much to it to me. I don't know.
The aftermath of it, even to this day, still makes me feel a little I don't know. That's a little off.
It gets really, it gets kind of raunchy.
Dad gets a little heated.
Hot and bothered,
So Clarissa goes back to using charades to distract the family for a moment while she sets up her cable booster behind the TV to steal the signal and send it upstairs. And she manages to get it back there. And she manages to get the TV working on her computer. But there's only one station that will come through.
And it's a Russian infomercial.
Station,
and they're selling potatoes.
Yeah, potatoes.
Let's see. If I adjust the pixel resolution... Wait a second, I think I see something. What is that? Looks like some kind of shopping show. Isn't that Russian raining? Isn't that a potato? Let's try another channel. It's the same on every channel. Good. All this work just to watch the shopping channel in Russian.
really funny, I thought.
Yes, that was a great moment in that. Maybe the funniest moment of the episode. Yeah. Like, just done really well, too.
Yeah.
It looks cool. So that was really funny. But everything finally comes to a head during this when Clarissa overloads everything in the house, basically. Mm-hmm. Her computer, the TV, somehow Ferguson's handheld...
Yeah.
Game device.
Yeah.
I wondered about that. I was like, is this the handheld device that overpowered or like that blew up, or was it like, was he just actually on like a TV and he...
I just assumed that I just didn't even know what was going on until like I put the pieces together. Like, oh, Ferguson looks blown up. Yeah. Like he looks all smoky and stuff.
The weird Frankenstein.
Yeah.
So like music that
it must have been like his thing blew up. But
yeah.
So, a slight nonsense thing.
Yeah.
But finally, the TV is in the shop, and the family's got to figure out something to do now for sure. And they go back to charades again. No. but this time, they seem to be kind of having a good time to it, kind of resigned to it.
Yes, yeah. They're in it now.
Yeah.
Well,
hot.
Long hot summer.
It was the famous mime Marcel Marceau. He said the family that plays charades together stays together.
But that's where we leave them.
Yeah,
playing charades, enjoying it, kind
of. Yeah, there's not so much of a conclusion of turning the TV on or anything. It's just.
And there is a little moment again where she's outside, like at the beginning of the episode, kind of bookending it,
You know,
like explaining her the lessons learned and whatnot.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That is the episode. That is no TV.
Episode 2. Okay. So then let's get into some of the details. Besides story. So it's time for.
Hi, this is Bios Trivia. Ratings and stray observations.
All right, let's do bios.
Yeah. The only characters in this episode were all main characters that appear all the time.
There's a couple phone calls, but you don't
see
those.
Anybody. So I chose to look
Wait a second. Yeah. There is one character that pops up, the mailman. The guy who drops off the remote.
Man, yeah, you're right. Jeez.
So one person.
Okay.
One person.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He was not on the IMDb page for this episode.
I believe it.
So I don't know if I can find anything about him, but I looked at Janet Darling, played by Elizabeth Hess, and she hasn't been in too many other things, but I thought this episode was kind of like a prominent part for her, I guess, more than some.
Yeah.
She also has appeared in Wienerville, Law and Order, and she was a theater teacher. Pretty interesting. And there's a little bit about her in the Klickstein book.
There is.
Klickstein.
Yeah, so in Klickstein, there's a quote from her, and I like kind of like you mentioned, I think she's a pretty well-respected actress. Yeah. So this must have been kind of weird for her to take a kid's show. And she says in the book, Mitchell Kriegman, again the creator, told me after the second or third episode, so right around this time, Elizabeth, I know you have a very big range as an actress, and you're just not going to be able to use it in this. You're not going to be able to use it all in this. And I totally, completely understood what that meant. When kids tune into the show, no matter what happens in it, they know that the grounding in it is the mom. No matter how odd things get, Janet Darling will be there at the end of the day. So I think that's a nice
that's,
little...
That's good.
Yeah. It also explains the Casablanca scene, at least.
Yeah. They're trying to reach for her.
Yeah. Throw her a bone.
Yeah. There's another thing in there somewhere, in the Klickstein book, about... I mean, I don't know that we need to look it up, but the gist of it was that she was kind of worried about being cast as a mom and being, like, an older lady, and he convinced her that she was going to be, like, a hot mom for the show.
Wow, it didn't seem like that's what they were going for.
Is it weird?
Really seem
I
that
often
way.
Thought I was like, how did Marshall land that? Like, in my head, I was like, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I often thought that for some odd reason. Not in a bad way, like, he's like a, like, he's just the, you know, back then, him being a goofball and everything, it was, in my head, I was just like,
he married up.
Yes. Like, but not by just like her being beautiful, but it was just more along the lines of just like, she just seems so together.
They always seem perfect. Like, he's kind of nerdy, she's kind of nerdy.
In their own ways.
They're clearly liberals.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
that was a weird kind of change all of a sudden for this type of show. This, like, sitcom-y show. Yeah. That, the whole aesthetic of Clarissa, I guess.
Yeah.
In my mind.
I mentioned last week, but, to me, a lot of the style on the show sometimes stands out to me a little more of, like, where maybe the hipster movement started. Mm-hmm. A lot of people credit Pete and Pete, but, the show has definitely got its own kind of hip style going on.
Yes, I think both of those shows like just did a lot to inform Nickelodeon's whole aesthetic. Yeah, I guess, the whole feel.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. As always, I have the writer and director. So this episode was written by the creator of Clarissa Explains It All, Mitchell Kriegman. This is one of only four episodes he wrote. So he wrote this. He wrote Bully. It's called Bully. He wrote Clarissa Makes a Cake. And he wrote Parents Who Say No. So this is one of four. He was also in the early 80s a writer on Saturday Night Live. And he was given a key credit as the main writer on five episodes of Saturday Night Live, which the hosts were Elliot Gould, Malcolm McDowell, Ellen Burstyn, Jamie Lee Curtis, and David Carradine. Kind of cool.
Oh, yeah,
that's cool. Definitely has a background in comedy. And he seems like he was a pretty influential guy around Nickelodeon. He was a story editor on Rugrats. He was a story editor on Ren and Stimpy, including Space Madness and Stimpy's Invention. And he wrote for Rocko's Modern Life, including an episode called No Pain, No Gain, which I like. But so he's the writer of this episode. And the director is a lady named Maureen Thorpe. And Maureen directed six Clarissas, including Clarissa's News Network and Haunted House, both good ones. She directed 10 episodes of a show called Ghost Rider.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah?
I watched it a lot, actually.
All right, very good. I missed it. I missed that one. And three episodes, her most recent credit is three episodes of Dinner Impossible on Food Network, which is a show I really like with Robert Irvine.
I'm not familiar with Dinner Impossible.
I'm a big Food Network fan. Robert Irvine, he's changing people's lives. Now it's Restaurant Impossible, where he'll like go in and he'll just totally.
Yes, okay, I know that.
Yeah. Before Restaurant Impossible was Dinner Impossible, where he more like helped with the food element.
Cool.
Okay. So that's a little bit on bios.
It does, like, I think that's kind of cool that you mentioned the whole Rocko's Modern Life thing, because now I feel like it does tie in the aesthetic of, like, several, like, bits of Clarissa. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Or at least that episode, several bits of that episode.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I have one little piece of trivia.
Cool.
I don't know if you guys happen to notice the words that appeared on the Soviet Home Shopping Channel.
I caught the phone number.
Oh, I don't know the phone number, but I'll let you.
I'll save it for straps.
Well, the words that appeared were glasnost and perestroika, which I looked up, and they seem to have something to do with, like, the change in Russian politics at the time, like the shift away from communism to...
term perestroika sounds a little bit more familiar than whatever the other ones were.
So, anyway. Okay. Yeah, the time period would have been right. Yeah. I mean, the Cold War would have been ending. Yeah, that's funny. So I have two that are not necessarily trivia about this episode, but just two trivia about Clarissa. Which one you can see in the episode. So one really famous thing about Mitchell Kriegman, I guess, part of the lore of Clarissa Explains It All, is that he had a strict no purple rule. Mm-hmm. Clarissa was not allowed to wear purple. And so in this episode, Clarissa is almost always wearing both the color blue and pink, which was something he felt adamant about. And listen, we haven't done Clickstein facts in a long time, but here comes the third one. So this is what it says in Clickstein. It starts with the guy who played Marshall, Joe O'Connor. And I remember as a kid really being excited that there was someone in a show named Joe.
That must have been one of the earliest things you noticed the people's names.
In the credits. Yeah, because who cares? But then I see the name Joe, I'm like, well, that's my name.
No, I mean, but it must have come up, like, every show you watched from then on. I mean, Joe.
Oh.
I'm guessing.
A lot of Joes, I guess, yeah. So Joe O'Connor said Mitchell hated the color purple. And then when Mitchell was asked about it, he said, "The anti-purple origin is completely arbitrary and methodical. Clarissa is the first big show that I had ever ran. And I had this advice from an old pro in the business who said, the first thing you need to do when you go down there is come up with some arbitrary thing that everybody's got to do and stick to it and never explain it. Stick to it and never explain it. And that way you'll prove that you've got the balls to run the show and that they'll have to just mentally give in to you." He goes unnamed. So I just go down there and it was in the back of my mind, but I knew I had to assert myself. We were in wardrobe and I actually had an idea about the wardrobe, which is that because I wanted the show to appeal so fervently to girls and boys, which was a big breakthrough, I wanted her to wear pink and blue. And that was the balance of her wardrobe. And in the set, I wanted it to be pink and blue. So I decided that purple would ruin that. So I just said no purple in the clothes. And then Lisa Letters would say, why? And I said, it doesn't matter, no purple. And in the set design, I would say no purple. And so it grew, right? Inside, I was laughing a little bit. It was a weird little thing. And by the way, Lisa snuck in a bunch of purple plenty of times. So, kind of a cool touch. I look for it. She was never wearing purple.
That is one of my favorite favorite things in all of the Quickstein books.
Yeah.
Just that whole thing cracks me up.
Yeah.
It's great.
I like it. And then my other Clarissa trivia, again, just kind of general to Clarissa.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Suzanne Collins?
Is that the creator of The Hunger Games?
Correct.
Oh. And Little Bear.
And Little Bear.
Oh.
And I came to find that her earliest writing job was on Clarissa Explains It All. So yeah, she wrote, I think she wrote 3 episodes. But either way, yeah, so the author of The Hunger Games' first job was on Clarissa.
That is insane. I would have thought it was Little Bear. Actually, I found out that fact, like the Little Bear and Hunger Games fact, like today, and I was like, no way. I had to look at it. I'm like, no, for real? So I loved Little Bear as a kid, and then that happens, and I'm like, did she just want kids to kill themselves after writing too many kids shows? Like, what happened?
Yeah. All right. So that's my trivia.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Cool. Well, I've got a bunch of stray observations.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
The first one is the, Karl Marx quote.
I think it was Karl Marx who said that religion is the opiate of the people. Makes you wonder what Karl would have thought of the tube.
Clarissa does at the beginning of the episode that I just thought was, like, weirdly, again, like, mature for the audience.
What 5 or 6, 7-year-old's gonna know what the heck she's talking
about? I wouldn't have had any idea, but I think that's great too, because that's the type of thing that I don't remember ever thinking, what are they talking about? That makes no sense. Like, I can't follow this. So I think that's just that kind of like not talking down to kids again, which is great.
Yeah, I was gonna say that actually impressed me more than the Shakespeare quote, more or less, because it was like, it proved how progressive their family was.
Yes.
And just the fact that she knew that meant that, like, I don't know, just to me it was, like, impressive. It was like, that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
Totally. I noted the old TV that they had in their house, which was appropriate for the time, you know?
Yeah.
I think we had similar TVs to that, that, like, pretty wood bulky. Grain outside.
Yeah.
So weird.
The pretty dial. Bulky. Oh, man, the dial.
The double UHF, VHF, or whatever. Clarissa's shirt has a... Do you know what it has on it? The first shirt she wears in the episode.
I thought it was just blue.
Yeah, there is an image on it.
Oh. I mean, wasn't there an image on the pocket or something?
It was small, but it was right in the middle.
I don't
It is a TV.
I thought that was her necklace.
No, it's a pin.
Oh,
it's actually a pin.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
This is the second episode of Clarissa that has Ren and Stimpy sound effects when they're watching TV.
You can definitely hear Ren screaming. Yeah.
Very weird because we talked about this last week, but I think Ren and Stimpy came out after Clarissa.
It did.
Yeah. So I don't really, unless they went back and changed that.
You know,
or had access to it.
Well, I think maybe it started airing after, but I don't know. It's interesting because Mitchell Krieger worked on Ren and Stimpy. I don't know. Well, I don't know the answer.
Yeah. Maybe it's the fact that he worked on it that he took some of the sound effects from there and.
Yeah, maybe.
That is strange.
Did you take note of the place where the Universal Remote came from and the name of the Universal Remote, or like what type of remote it was?
It came. The Kennedy Space, or I don't
know. That's another.
That was different. Where she said she can actually do it.
Yeah,
okay.
From,
but I can't remember.
I don't remember where she got it from.
It is from the Egghead Scientific Company.
Yeah.
And it is an Acme All-Purpose High-Frequency Universal Learning Remote Control Kit.
Cool.
And that explains the Wile E. Coyote-esque prop that she has. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. My next one was what you were about to say.
Okay.
The remote can change channels from...
30 miles away.
Yeah.
From the Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah. So I was going to say, wherever the Kennedy Space Center is, we could probably determine where this is.
It's actually in Jacksonville. It's located in on Merritt Island, Florida. The center is northwest of Cape Canaveral on the Atlantic Ocean, midway between Miami and Jacksonville on Florida's space coast. Due east of Orlando.
Okay, so that would make sense.
And they're in, I mean, all this stuff was in real life in Florida at the time. So
right. So let's say she's in Florida, because we know a couple things. She's by the ocean, things like that. And let's just say that Marshall was born in California, raised a Lakers fan, and relocated for his architecture job in Florida.
Okay. That could be. Not to mention, there actually are. Living in, like, Homestead, Florida, there were a ton of, like, people who were, like, fan of California teams.
Oh.
Like, the Knicks, the Lakers, like, stuff like that. Like, big fan of teams over there.
Cool.
Which was weird, because there are, like, several, you know, Florida teams. Although I don't know if the Heat was established around that time.
Yeah, right around that. Maybe not yet. Maybe
so,
not. Yeah. Oh,
maybe.
Cool. Well.
Ferguson's drool. Did you know what his drool was shaped like?
No.
They made note of it.
Yeah, I'm just blanking.
I didn't just make it up.
Yeah,
it is a whale.
Oh, right.
And finally, did you note what video game Ferguson was playing?
Was it Sonic?
No, it was not.
Not Sonic. No.
They don't show it. They just say.
Oh.
At some point.
Oh, it was Mega Man.
Mega Man.
I don't know.
12.
Was it Mega Man 12? I thought he said he beat the 12th level. Maybe that would just heard it. I think I've heard it wrong.
I believe he said Mega Man 12.
I think you're correct, actually. Don't quote me on it. I believe you're correct.
In which case, that's not even out yet. Still.
It's not a real
Mega
game.
Mega Man 12.
Okay.
Yeah, but it might come. It might be coming.
Well, maybe Clarissa was supposed to be set in the future.
Maybe. This is a clue. Except for the TV being...
No, there's nothing you can do about that.
Okay, but that's it for my stray observations.
Okay. So did you catch the Ferguson? So Clarissa has a series of insults towards Ferguson. Did you catch any of the names she calls him?
Pinhead.
No, not Pinhead.
Was
but you're
it
close.
Not Pinhead? Oh wait, it was. I can't remember it now.
A Pimplehead.
That's what it was.
Oh, Pimplehead.
That's what it was.
She calls him Maud Breath, and Ferghead.
Yeah.
When Clarissa and Ferguson, their dads, get carried away and start talking about a television show, what show do they start reminiscing about?
Wait, who was reminiscing?
Remember at the start of the episode when they get carried away talking about...
The Cosby Show.
The Cosby Show.
Yes.
Yeah. And I made note that the story they were talking about involved Cosby's sweater, which was purple.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you happen to notice what were on Clarissa's pajamas when she's in her bedroom?
Billiard balls.
Yeah, billiard balls.
I'm sorry, I pay attention to fashion more than the actual episode.
Which show does Marshall tell Clarissa she could watch with him if she wanted? There's like
this
one.
This Old House.
Good job, man. You're killing it. Yeah.
I think I thought about it because I remember my mom making us watch stuff like that in Bonanza as a kid, and I'm just like, oh, I feel you. I'm sorry.
How many hubcaps are in Clarissa's bedroom wall?
Wow.
Not a don't know.
Is three is my guess.
Close. Four.
Oh, I was gonna guess four, but I thought that would be weird. I was like, oh, she had four hubcaps.
It's a lot. And how many hats does Clarissa have hanging on her wall?
Wasn't it like seven?
More than that.
Oh, is it more than that?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't remember.
16 hats.
16 oh. hats?
Yeah, 16.
I only like pinpointed the one Indiana Jones-esque hat, and I just kept staring at it for some reason. Like, what are you doing with that hat? Like, but yeah, that's a lot of hats.
When Sam shows up, before he leaves, she asks him to watch a couple things on TV so she's informed for school. There's two shows she asks him to watch.
One's The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
The other one's definitely Full House because she wants to know how, I can't remember what the actual sister's name is.
DJ.
Yeah, how, like what happens to DJ.
Yeah.
And then she said something about clicking, like click the TV a few times.
Flip around the channels.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, very good. Oh, man, Sandy's on it. What type of light strand is decorated around Clarissa's bedroom window?
Christmas lights?
No.
Skeletons?
Mm-hmm. It's, oh, jeez. I don't remember exactly what it is.
They look like red peppers.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Clarissa, when they go down to the kitchen and everybody's kind of doing their weird thing, Clarissa wants to see if her mom even's listening to what she's saying. So Clarissa goes up and tells her mom that she's going to do a couple things rather than you guessing. I'm just going to read them because I thought they were funny.
Yeah.
She says she's going to join a radical feminist folk singing group. She's going to join a religious cult where you have to shave your head and paint it red and worship lima beans. She says she's going to eat a jar or two of mayonnaise, five or six jars of pickled tomatoes, baking soda, cake mix, and puke until she passes out. And then, so this whole time Janet's not responding like, oh, that's nice, Clarissa. And then she says, and I'm going to go watch TV. And that's when Janet breaks out of it. I thought that was funny. We mentioned the things the mom's cooking. So we mentioned alfalfa parfait. Did you happen to notice the two other things she cooked up?
I can't remember.
Lentil surprise.
Yep.
And tofu meringue pie.
Yeah.
Oddly
very
enough,
gross.
The tofu meringue pie sounded intriguing because tofu's actually used now to make like a ricotta type of cheese and stuff.
Okay.
So it could. But the parfait just. I stopped there because that just. Oh, God. It was so bad. It looked horrible.
Sam notes that he and his dad are going to get matching tattoos. Did you happen to catch what the tattoos are?
Big kahuna.
Big kahuna tattoos. Yeah. They mentioned that something is against Janet Darling's religion.
Spraying aerosol spray is against her religion.
That's right.
I noted that because I was like, as soon as she said that, I was like, she sprayed what? Because of her being such a, naturalist. I was like, that's a bit out of character.
Yeah. Did you catch the phone number? Or you said you didn't.
Yeah,
the phone number of the Russian potato company?
Yeah.
It was 555 Dada. Dada. And then you mentioned that she quotes Karl Marx. She ends the episode by quoting one other person.
Oh, I can't remember. It's
She starts by quoting Karl Marx. The episode ends with someone else.
I
think it's somewhat of a joke, but she says the mime Marceau. So those are my stray observations.
Nice. Just want to note there is a character that we didn't mention before we move on. Do you know who it was?
That was in the episode, but we haven't talked about.
Yep.
You mean like besides
Jody?
Elvis?
Nope. Elvis. Yeah.
Oh, Elvis. Yeah.
Just one of Elvis's appearances in the first season, as we know.
Yeah, that's all he gets.
Yeah.
The iconic Elvis growl or whatever that noise is.
Also, I think it was pretty great what they did with Sam and his dad. Like, his dad's a pretty realized character for not ever appearing.
Yeah.
And, like, their relationship feels real.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, manufactured.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like I knew his dad.
This totally feels like a real... Like, he's staying with his single dad relationship,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Want to do ratings?
Yeah.
All right, Krebs stars. Before we do them, IMDb gives this episode a 7.6 out of 10.
Wow.
Kind of average.
Okay.
TV.com gives it an 8.6 out of 10. And so out of 5 Krebs stars, what are you giving Clarissa Explains It All, No TV?
Well, let me just say that's a pretty big disparity, that 10-point, that whole
between the
point,
websites. Yeah, that does seem like a big deal.
I gave this one a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
I thought it was great. I really loved the whole episode. The only thing that kept it from getting a higher rating was it didn't quite like move me as some Pete and Pete's do, I guess. But I thought it was really good, and I was laughing at it multiple times. I laughed like out loud, you know. I thought it was funny. So I thought it was a great, strong episode, and I anticipate there will be even stronger ones.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. I gave it a 4 as well, mostly just because there was like not that much Ferguson. So like he had some, you know, slight digs, like the whole Night of the Living Dead thing when you're playing charades, but that was like, oh, okay, that's actually not bad. But yeah, no, and literally, like I said, this was like marking, for someone like me who enjoys like various forms of fashion, this like marked Clarissa's like upcoming, like for girls, not so much for girls who were like younger, this was like a bringing out of fashion, like, hey, you can wear what you want to wear and still look good in it. Like, cause she has various other iconic outfits, but that just like,
cool
to me, was like pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. I gave this one a 3.5.
Wow.
You're not that low. I did think it was good. There were a lot of times when they're on the couch as a family, I thought it was kind of still, it was felt very still and like the story wasn't moving very much. And I agree totally with what you said, which is I enjoyed it, but it didn't really make me feel a lot. I didn't think Sam's storylines of coming in and his struggle of watching TV were that amusing. So there were, I thought, some weak points, which hurt it for me. But overall, like I mentioned last week of enjoying the pilot, I enjoyed this one too. And I was thinking about like that question you asked at on our retrospective about shows we've watched that are better than we remember. And I think I'm realizing Clarissa is much better than I remember it as a kid. A little funnier, a little edgier, a lot edgier than I remembered. And so there's a lot of good stuff about it. It just, to me, wasn't, I think, one of the better Clarissas, perhaps. Maybe I'll be wrong, but...
Very hard rating.
I don't
You're a hard one to please.
I don't To me, once I'm in the twos, that's harsh.
It's funny because I was thinking that same thing about the couch, like in the living room at first, until they segued into the dad's story. And it was so ridiculous and good that I was like, okay, they've redeemed themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it never, like, I thought it was going to go to the place where I guess you thought it was at.
I think,
of being too boring in that moment.
I thought they made the most out of, you know, a minimal, you know, setting options. Yeah. Like, it was pretty good.
Yeah. That's the other thing. They don't really leave the house ever.
That's true.
I mean, Clarissa doesn't leave the house a whole lot in general, but, it just felt
they do go out on the porch a couple times.
That's true. Clarissa does. That's true. So, not a bad episode by any means. I enjoyed watching it. Enjoyed reading it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So this episode we didn't mention, but this episode's on Daily Motion, but there are more legal ways to buy it. The DVD's really cheap. I mean, if you go to like Target or Walmart.com, you can, either way, you can buy the DVD set, whatever is available, and they're very cheap, like $5 to $10 range. So if you're eager to watch it, you can buy it. You can, of course, get it offline. I think it's on Prime, pretty cheap. Or you can watch it on Daily Motion, but so it's out there. There is a small clip from the episode on YouTube posted by The Splat, and so I looked through the comments. So it's time for a rare edition, well, hopefully less rare this year, of What Would YouTube Comments Do?
What would YouTube comments do?
So Joseph Elijah posted, I used to have a crush on Clarissa. 'Twas a great time in my life. And there were two replies to this comment. Velcron 1 said, me too, but now I'm more attracted to her mother. That's what happens when you get older. And then someone replied to that person, Query Queryson 1. They said, Mrs. Darling is fire.
Wow, so...
So I guess
Mrs. Darling is fire. Jeez.
So I guess
turned out she was the hot mom.
She's hot, I guess, yeah.
I told you as a kid, I mean, she was pretty on point to me. Like,
yeah.
I
thought she was the hottest mom on Nickelodeon? This could be its own episode, but we're probably not going to do hot moms. So.
I don't know. I think that might ruin my childhood. She's pretty up there, I think.
Okay. I never thought about her much as a kid. I'm thinking about her more now,
right.
I guess.
I feel like she might have been one of the more like prevalent moms, like in like out of all the shows I watched as a kid,
more so
there and like, you know, helping out than other moms.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, she had like more to do with what was going on in the show, like more often and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've talked about it.
Yep. That was Clarissa. great. I really liked it. I mean, I had a great time with that one.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm sure the stretch before we talk about Clarissa again will be a little smaller. Well, I'm eager to check out some more stuff.
Yeah.
But what are we doing next week?
Oh, man, next week's going to be a pretty big one, I think.
I think people are really going to like this one.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Kenan versus Kel.
That's right.
Who will reign supreme.
Yeah, you heard that right. Not Kenan and Kel. We're talking Kenan versus Kel. So it's one of our versus episode.
Yeah.
Can you guys like start the show off with the old Coolio? Oh, here he goes.
I think we have to. I think just out of respect, just start the episode with the song.
Definitely.
And our friend Bobby, who people really seem to enjoy, he'll be joining us to judge. That'll be a tough one to judge.
Big Kenan and Kel fan, as we learned from our last episode.
The biggest I know, I guess.
So that should be fun.
Yeah, I look forward to it. In the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, we're on Twitter at BOC Podcast. We're on Instagram at Orange Couch Podcast. We're on Facebook, and we're almost at 50. So that's kind of crazy. And you can listen to us on Podbean and iTunes. And as I mentioned last week, we're going to have a 90s Nickelodeon award show at the end of the last Sunday of February. And so we've laid out the categories for you guys. If you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, you can vote on favorite animated series, best live action series, best game show, your favorite episode of this podcast, favorite main character, favorite supporting character, favorite theme song. What else is there? Favorite Nickelodeon family, favorite programming block. So you got about one more week to either email us or message us your votes. We've already gotten a lot, so it's kind of exciting, but we need to wrap it up before February so we have time to start getting the show ready. So email us for our big award extravaganza.
Yes, please.
It'll be exciting.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sandy, so much for coming. Oh, I'm sorry.
Not a problem. No, it's okay. But no, seriously, thank you for having me.
Okay, now get out.
All right, see you next time.
Throw away your television. Time to make this clean decision. Master waits for its collision.